You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come feel what you need when what you really want inside. You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today, getting a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must get done, it will get done. Because you're the one who will do it. And we love and respect you for it. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world that you can listen to this program live. That's right. You can listen to this program by going to timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com. Yeah. Timeforanawakening.com. You can listen to this program live. So I don't even push what you call it anymore because, you know, there's no commercials. Yeah. Yeah, tune in. They have commercials and so forth and on your broadcast. And so timeforanawakening.com. You can listen to the program every day. And, of course, you can listen to this program not just through Time for an Awakening, but whatever search engine that you want to use, and you just put in babaoshi.net into the search. Put in Baba, B-A-B-A-O-S-H-I .net, babaoshi.net. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And on Thursdays, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, from 7 to 8 with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club, Mississippi on the Move, from 7 to 8 on Thursdays. Fridays at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. Saturdays at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. On Sunday, once again at 7, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Tayemba. We'll be returning tomorrow from Azania. We will talk with him and all the other trips that are being planned. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brothers and sisters, you have a chance to go on a trip of a lifetime. Returning from Azania tomorrow, then March 29th to April 9th, Liberia and Morocco, July 11th, July 23rd, Ghana, November 21st to December 2nd, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, 2025. Once again, Azania. April 1st to April 11th, Senegal and Gambia. May 24th through June 5th, 2025, Ghana. November 21st to December 1st, Brazil. These are some of the trips that he has planned. I'm quite sure there'll be more. It's what he's done. It's what he's about. And trying to hip our people to what a beautiful place our homeland is, the motherland is. You can invest. You can repatriate. All kinds of information you can get off of the website, Africa40Africans.org. The shots that are necessary, the visas, and all those things. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007 for videos. Africa40Africans.org. Habashaw Incorporated.org. Habashaw is going to be having a celebration at the Art Exchange. 22 years of reparative agriculture at the Art Exchange with Brother Kenneth Zaki. And I'll be bringing you more information on that. Okay? Exactly. Brother Kenneth Zaki at the Art Exchange. LEDGE. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The LEDGE Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. They have 12 projects going on in 6 different countries in Africa. Over 170 employees and over 260 members. Become a member of the LEDGE Group. They deal in the 4 areas of human necessity, human existence, food, water, clothing, and shelter. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE Group. And also, too, you can get some land. That's right, in Tanzania. $250 an acre. $250 an acre. Your land might be overlooking Kilimanjaro. Hey, you never know. Abibia Tumi. Abibia Tumi. A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I. AbibiaTumi.com. Brothers and sisters, once again, Brother Dr. Kamal Kamban has made his transition. Information is coming out. I just got received something from Mama Yaba Rudy. And so when I get some of it, I'll share it with you. You know, that it's an unfortunate transition, unfortunate passing, Dr. Kamban. So, abibiatumi.com. Go to abibiatumi.com. Smile Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY. Smile Pharmacy, Brother Jabril. And you know, this that time you be making resolutions, you want to do something. Well, give him a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. Talk to Brother Jabril. He'll put a program together for you. If you want to send an email to him, smaipharmacy@gmail.com. Smaipharmacy@gmail.com. SMAIFARMACY@gmail.com. The Moses West Foundation. The Moses West Foundation. Providing sustainable living. The Moses West Foundation, sustainable by the vision of the founder, Moses West, that clean water is a fundamental human right. The atmospheric water generating technology that he has created, there's water all around us. Yes, I know some of the reservoirs, some of the lakes, some of the tributaries, they're down, but we have water all around us that we can convert into clean drinking water, usable water, use it to grow food, aquaponics, all kinds of things. Our mission is to leverage cutting-edge atmospheric water generation technology to provide essential water access, foster community development, and promote environmental responsibility. The Moses West Foundation. Wadada's. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar located in the West End here in Atlanta. Located right on Ralph David Abernathy. They got delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and all kinds of pastries and dry goods and all kinds of good stuff. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Right across the street from Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Check out Wadada's. You want to give them a call? Give them a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, T-shirts, figurines, and so much more. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, my good brother, Kazimde Ajamu. He's east of Atlanta off I-20. Head east on I-20, exit 74, make a left. Now you're headed north. And about a mile on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Or you can give them a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. There is light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your ride, headed back the same direction. Now you're going south. And when you get to I-20, make a left again. Now you're still headed east. The very next exit is exit 75. Turner Hill Road. Take that, make a right, three lights, make another right, and you're at the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. I want to thank my good sister, Mama Nabantu, outstanding job, and Brother Sajifo for the Kwanzaa presentations that took place this past week. The Kwanzaa presentations, outstanding. And we look forward to having them again. Us lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Brother, I was at the Kwanzaa for Ujamaa on the fourth day of Kwanzaa. Outstanding job by Baba Akima and Brother Ankti. Outstanding. And us lifting us. They have their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Us lifting us from 9 to 10 on Thursdays. The number to call is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop located in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah, he's got it going on. He's open from Tuesdays through Sunday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. He's got everything on those premises, brother. He even has a vegan restaurant, man. Check him out or give him a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon. Sun God Ascension, one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Mall, Discount Mall, booth 225. Give my sister Shelly Amundset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. And also, two brothers and sisters, go online to sanjay-haiti.org and check out what Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, Sister Gabby's been doing with those young people, those students in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E. -Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Mama Baruti and Baba Baruti. Yeah, they were the ones that sent the information out about Baba, Dr. Kamban. And there was another one, too, that I seen on Facebook. You know, I mentioned the other day that Baba Baruti, they're doing they have 3 4-week sessions, 3 4-week sessions, online courses. Asafo, February 7th through the 28th. Message to the Warriors, May 1st through the 22nd. And IWA for August 7th through the 28th. And, of course, there will be some charge, and I'll get all the pertinent information when I can get that, okay? So for those who want to attend those sessions, you know they're going to be dynamic. The Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. January 2nd, some people are relatives, but others are ancestors, and you choose the ones you want to have as ancestors. You create yourself out of those values. Ralph Ellison. Succinctly, ancestors are those individuals who were born before you and have transitioned from the physical world and returned to the spiritual realm. Warriors must carefully select those we call ancestors based on their work during their lifetime here. Neither those who commit treason against our people nor those who oppress us qualify to be honored as elders while here or ancestors once they have departed. As they do their ancestors, people always pick their elders. Those choices are not random. Warriors pick Jagnaks as elders. Jagnaks. Compromised African people picked compromised elders, or rather, olders, so there is not the responsibility of them and themselves being checked for their compromised thoughts, words, and deeds by those who are supposedly wiser than them. Olders dare not throw the first stone for the fear that their compromise, too, will be exposed. If there are characteristics like arrogance, unaccountability, and unilateralness, which disqualify one from eldership, and there are, and then there are qualities like arrogance, jumping to the gun and making assumptions without evidence, which disqualify one from warriorhood, and therefore from inserting oneself into the position of determining who is and who is not an elder. Remember that when we do not listen to our elders, we receive no warnings. And as our enemies would desire, we remain defenseless against assaults which already discernible patterns and therefore predictable dire endings. Affirm, I choose my ancestors and elders wisely. Affirm, I choose my ancestors and elders wisely. Remember, just because somebody's old, they just old. Okay? They just old. Elders are titles. Ancestors are titles. Those are things that are earned over time. January 3rd, our objective is the destruction of the evil system of global European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy, and the reassertion of our right to self-determination and the reconstruction of a divine humanity that we brought to the world in the beginning. Hadaru Ankh Seb. We know we are righteous. We know we are winning. We see through the weaknesses of the power we prop up in other people. We are wise enough to know that this is a sign of extreme importance to side with them against us in order to make our destruction by them easier to bear. We are fully committed to their destruction, to the permanent removal of their power over us. We cannot reform hell. I repeat, we cannot reform hell. We cannot transform Urugu into us. It is what it is. We have much work to do, family. Sankofian nation-building work inside and collective work outside in punishing and correcting those who are not African and have historically assaulted us. We have a responsibility to follow our ancestral instructions to punish those who deserve punishment, and none will equal your righteousness. And respond through our actions to the question, if you turn your face from violence, who will punish the wrongdoing? Ma'at must be returned to those of us standing on the front line and then administered to whoever stands against us in whatever language it is required to make them understand that our enslavement is over. Our enslavement is over. This is our calling, our only divine instruction in this day and time. It can only be ignored as an expense of our final destruction. There is no alternative. There is no compromise. There is no default. We must win or we will cease to exist as a people. Ashe. I know who I am and what they, and I know who they are. Affirm, I know who I am and I know what they are. Brothers and sisters, the Inyasisim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yeah, that last piece definitely goes inside of our guest today and his book, The Jigsaw Puzzle of Black Unity, which I read many years ago. Mm-hmm. It's been revised. Brother Tony Courtney, how you doing?
Fine, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Baba. I'm doing well, man. I'm glad you're here with me as a guest and to talk about the jigsaw puzzle of African unity, which is so vitally important, so necessary.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Especially in this day and time, man. Because I think that, as you can see and know that, you know, we're going to be, you know, all the stuff that happened previously with affirmative action program, these programs, this, that, and the other, that's over. You know, it's every man, woman, and child and dog for themselves. And in this kind of environment, and it's a dog-eat-dog environment, it is not conducive for us as African people that we can live and love freely in, that we can begin to share and be the kind of people that we must be. And I maintain that we got to get a body here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think the jigsaw puzzle for us, you know, I like some of the metaphors that you use in with the jigsaw puzzle. Now, I was never good at putting these puzzles together, okay? Too many pieces, like he's talking about a 1,000-piece puzzle. And believe me, there have been some 1,000 pieces. I'm like, man, you know. But, you know, there's people I know that could find the border. And once they found the border, man, they were off. They put the coloring of these areas in this corner here, so these pieces would be here. The colors over here for these pieces, whatever, you know. And they just start to go to work. But once they found that border, those people, those pieces that constitute that border, they were off. And that's the interesting thing that you said about the book, because many people, if you don't have a picture that's on the box to show you what the puzzle is supposed to look like, you know, the thinking is, how can I put this puzzle together? Well, the same way, it's just going to be longer, right?
That's right. It may take you a little bit longer time.
Mm-hmm.
But you eventually will get it together. You just have to maintain and stay steadfast in terms of doing what you set out to do. And it's no different than our history and our culture. Here, you know, it's a step-by-step process. A lot of times we think that it's going to happen overnight. And, you know, but overnight is forever.
Yeah. But, I mean.
And the key is that, and we see that historically in terms of cycles, is that our energies level, arise within us as we begin to reassess as Black people, African people in this country and throughout the world, where there's things that are done, maybe not as fast as we think they should be done, but they're being done.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes it's being done and we're looking right at it, but not understanding or seeing what it is that's taking place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Made it challenging.
When I saw the calls come in, I got to quickly mute them so you get some feedback. Okay. But, you know, what the book is saying, and it's a small booklet, you know, but it's very impactful. You know, what it's saying is that it is up to us to put this puzzle together.
Mm-hmm.
This is for us. This is not designed for anybody else to do this but us. And the fact that we haven't done it is the cause of the much confusion and discernment that we have in our community, because we haven't put this puzzle together of African unity, of Black unity, you know. And it's so necessary, especially now. Now, you know, I maintain that the situation for us here is tenuous. We can't do anything here. You know, that's how I look at it, Brother Baba Tony. We can't do anything here because this is theirs, not ours. You know, I know Republic of New Africa talked about the states, the southern states, and I know there's a DVD talking about for us to come back south because we can control a number of things because of the population, the numbers of us, and the fact that we have been here coming out of the south since our captivity. And even though a good majority of us left, or a good number of us, but that might be a better term, left out of here in the migration, because my mother, my family left out of Georgia. They left out of Georgia at the turn of the last century. My folks have been in Chicago, and my grandfather, he went to Milwaukee, damn it. I could have been born in Chicago like you, Tony. But he went to Milwaukee, and my mother was born in Milwaukee in 1926. But still, there's a lot of us here. And the whole idea of that particular presentation is for us to move back south where we have numbers and where we can I think I lost him, but I knew it would call back. Where we can go back south. Let me see if he he went off, so I'm gonna Yeah, okay, Tony, you're back with us.
I'm back. I lost the connection there.
Okay, all right. But
yeah, well, you know, that whole concept of moving south really started in 1969, a group called the Black People's Topographical Research Center out of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And did a lot of the information regarding where our population was. And the majority of our population was in the Black Belt from East Texas all the way over to the Atlantic Ocean.
Okay.
And in many of those places, in many of those counties, we were the dominance of population in those counties. And so one of the things that we looked at is moving back south. And just like a lot of Black people have moved back south, like yourself, you've been moved down to Atlanta, is that right?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And a whole lot of us have moved down to Atlanta and back to Mississippi and back to Arkansas and Louisiana and a lot of places. And so what happens is that we've had a certain level of political influence and power. We've become sheriffs in many of those places. We've set up a lot of businesses. I mean, Atlanta is a primary example. And so it provided us with a whole different way of looking at a certain level of empowerment. Not necessarily power, but empowerment to be able to do some things and keep our order and our agenda. So this is like a second migration. And, you know, Charles Blow on from the New York Times, you know, he has that documentary, you know, right. Down South to Black Power.
Right. That's what I was referencing. Until you had the technical difficulty, I was referencing that.
Yep.
And that's a documentary you can get off of YouTube, family.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to YouTube and check out the documentary. It's about an hour or so long. And I'm definitely going to do it. I want to get that information, where it's coming from. But, I mean, once again, though, brother, for me, I understand it. And I know that moving south and having more of us in connection with that is beneficial, but by the same token, it's still theirs. It's not ours. We may have the influence,
right.
and influence does not mean power, because they still control it, you know. But yet, you know, we can still work hard within that and to have a better situation for us in control of jobs and control of, You know, maybe we had some banks. You could we could do just what we did in Tulsa or Rosewood, you know, in some of those cities and some of those towns. You know, we could do that. I'm not saying that that can't be done, but it's still the controlling, just like Jackson, just like Mississippi, you know, Brother Chukwe Lumumba's son is the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, and they've been trying to get clean water down there, but yet the governor and other outlying areas has been messing with him about the situation. So still, you know, they don't have the clean water that they should have, and even though money has been allocated for them, you know, because the state runs it, the governor runs it, the Republican governor runs it, you know. So, but still, but in spite of that, you still got to, you know, fight. You just can't just lay down. You still got to fight. And
that's what we have to do as people of African people, black people, wherever we are, whether it's on the continent, whether it's in the Caribbean, whether it's in the United States, wherever we are, is that we have to continue. And the main thing is not allow for our spirits to be broken.
Right.
You see, what I see happening right now is among many of us as black people, a lot of our people have given up. But at the same time, is that one of the things I've noticed in terms of cycles. Mm-hmm. Before I get into the book, I want to say a little bit about cycles. Is that, and I sort of trace cycles, and I could deal with either a 50 or 60 year cycle. Let's just deal with 50. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to start with 1860. In 1860, a lot of our people were still enslaved in America, especially in the South. Is that right?
Right.
In 1861, the Civil War started. For the first 2 years of the Civil War, the South kicked the North's butt. Mm-hmm. Now, in 1863, Lincoln so-called emancipated the enslaved Africans, which was basically none but paper, because the South wasn't paying no attention to that. They was already kicking in the North's butt for 2 years. But there was a deciding factor. Frederick Douglass had continuously pushed for black soldiers to be involved. Okay? So once, and Lincoln only freed the enslaved Africans in the states that had seceded from the Union, because there were still four states that were allowed to keep their slaves. He didn't take that, even though they decided to stay with the Union. Okay? Mm-hmm. So what happened now from 1863, 2 years later, even though the South had been kicking butt two years later, the war was over. So what was the deciding factor in that? Mm. You know what it was?
What?
Black soldiers.
Okay, right, yeah. That was the turning
point.
So
you know
right.
What happened now? You didn't put a gun and a bayonet in these brothers' hands.
Hands, right.
And they remember, you remember when you sold my mama?
Mm-hmm.
You remember when you beat my daddy and killed my brother?
Yep.
So them brothers go to war with a whole kind of different passion, don't they?
Yeah.
So 2 years later, it's all over. Now, so part of that cycle from 1860, and we're going to take it all the way up to 1880.
Okay.
Even though it started in 1860, 20 years of the 50-year cycle. During that period of time, what else was going on from 1863 to 1880? We began to get black elected officials in southern states,
right,
mostly all over. Is that right?
Right, the Reconstruction era.
Mm-hmm. Reconstruction area. And so that went all the way up until 1880. But then, as we say, is that people who were running the system get their thing back together, and then they cut a deal. And the deal was cut in the Shields and Hayes election, presidential election. And so what took place was Rutherford B. Hayes became the president.
Right.
But the deal was, is he had to pull the troops
out
of
the South
that was protecting black people. Is that right?
Yep.
So then we went through that period for about 30 years, not that there were still not things going on, because there were. And, you know, black people were still fighting. We've never given up the fight. And so what takes place, but we have up cycles and down cycles.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say we go with the 50-year cycle again. So 1860, 50-year cycle from that is what, 1910. Is that right?
Right.
So let's take a look at that 20 years. 1910, what's going on? Mm-hmm. You got the Harlem Renaissance in that period of time. You got all kind of black authors. You got brothers involved in World War One.
Mm-hmm.
You got the different groups that's being established, like the Nation of Islam that's going on. You got Garvey that come to America during that period of time, all right? Had the largest organization ever of black people in the country, at least 4 million followers. You've got Noble Drew Ali. You've got all kind of different organizations within there during that period of time.
The NAACP, 1909, the Urban League.
1909, that's right. All of these are being established. So that energy is back up during that period of time. Now, so basically we go, if you start with 1909, you go all the way to 1929, what is it that brought the energy down again? The Depression.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And a lot of times these things are contrived, right? They're just cycles, they're contrived, just like what's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
So, boom, you got that. So let's go again. So from 1910, the next 50-year cycle starts when? 1960.
Okay.
But what's happening in 1960, brother? From 1960 to 1980.
Yeah, well, that's my time.
That's our time.
That's our time.
That's right.
Black power.
Everything is
happening, man. Yeah.
You can call them out for the people that don't know. We know Malcolm was in there. We know King was in there. Mega Evers.
Yeah.
We Stokely and Rapp and you name it. Is that right?
Angela Davis, all of them. Yeah.
All of them there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that energy level, and then we got Motown and Stax and the
Yeah. From an entertainment standpoint, man, it was dynamic. Oh, kind of lost him again. He'll be back, I guess. Yeah, from an entertainment standpoint, the so-called black exploitation films that started to come out in the late 60s and into the 70s, big time, you know. So it was a time, you know, once again, that we were reassessing our position here, and we thought we could do a little something. That was a time of affirmative action. Affirmative action was being initiated across the country, you know, and folks were getting jobs. Okay. I was just saying, brother, that also during that time was the black exploitation films that were happening,
right.
You know. Also, too, affirmative action was being initiated. Some of us were being able to go to schools that we definitely could not have gone to previously. Got into jobs that we could not have gotten previously, like in the fire department, police department. I came on the fire department doing affirmative action in the mid-70s, you know. So, yeah, there was a lot going on, you know.
A whole lot. And you talk about those black exploitation movies, a lot of those movies fired our people up.
Oh, yeah.
Like Black Caesar.
Yeah.
Sweet Sweetback, man. Yeah, yes, you know, sir. We had never seen nobody get away that they had did something to white people.
That's right.
And Will Sweetback say, you kill my mama, you kill my daddy, but you won't kill me.
Yep. Sweet Sweetback.
So the thing is a lot of times during those period of times, the spirit is lifted amongst our people.
Okay.
And once the spirit is lifted, then boom, we become unstoppable. And in so many different arenas that we're in, we have mastered every arena that there is. We got our folks who know how to do everything.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that we don't know how to do. As a matter of fact, we're the fix-it people. You know, right now, America, it cannot fix itself. We can see it happening. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to fix it. And not only fix that, but the world. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because we have the genius. So no matter where we are, it still has to be done. You know? So, okay, so we know the 60s went all the way to the 80s, right? Remember that first 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
What took place? Crack cocaine.
Man. Devastating.
And NAFTA taking the jobs that a lot of our people had worked. We just saw it in Milwaukee, didn't we, brother?
Yo, man, Milwaukee's folks used to come up from the South or anywhere else, get to Milwaukee, you got a job the next day.
That's right.
You know.
To work all the overtime you wanted to work.
That's right. Man.
Making $20 an hour. Milwaukee at plus. And Milwaukee had one of the highest standards of living for black people in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were so many factories there between Milwaukee and Racine, Kenosha, Beloit, Janesville. Is that right?
That's right.
Cats was making their money. They was marrying their childhood sweethearts.
Yeah.
They were buying houses.
Yep.
When I came there, Milwaukee was known as Cadillac City. And if you didn't, because all the commercials was no deal, Metropolitan.
Yeah.
If you didn't want a Cadillac, you got you a Ford from Jack White Ford. They got you a Lincoln. Is that right?
That's right, man.
And if not that, Deuce and a Quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That big Buick.
Got you a big Buick. So, Deuce and a Quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And so what happened is people were able to have a lifestyle that they could take care of their children. And then what took place is I remember when Slips closed in 80 was the domino effect.
Yeah.
One factory after another.
Oh, man, when A.O. Smith closed. Woo.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was, I mean, all of it was devastating. You seen that you what Milwaukee was to what Milwaukee became, man. It was pathetic, was sad. There was no jobs. The only jobs that you had was in the service industry. And the service industry didn't pay that much.
Not that kind of money they was making in the factory.
No, not at all.
And not only did it affect us, it affected white people and everybody else, Hispanics, anybody else that was working there.
Yeah.
So all of them became the victims.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so that went on. And like I say, a whole lot of different things that took place during that time, you know, but still there were still struggles going on behind the scenes, you know, still organizations that was working to make change, still challenging the existing system to do the correct thing. But I ain't gonna be late, but let's go now. So you go 1960 to 1980, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the next 50 years is what?
2010,
right?
Yeah.
So what do we have in 2010? You got a black president.
Mm-hmm.
Got Obama. Now, a lot of people say, well, Obama didn't do nothing. Yeah, but yes, Obama did. Obama lifted the spirit of black people because black people had always told their children, I had heard it since I was growing up, that you know you could grow up to be president. Is that right?
That's right.
I remember when Obama was running against Hillary Clinton, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of the sisters, unfortunately, was talking about voting for Hillary Clinton. And so I heard it one day, and I went over, I said, did you ever tell your black son he could grow up to be president? And every one of them had said it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That stuff turned real quick. And then when Oprah came out for him, it was all over, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You see, so that energy level was up. Now, we still in that cycle right now because it's going for 20 years, ain't it, brother?
Okay.
So if you talk about 2010, it ain't over till 2030, if ever now.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens, like I say, America's got problems that it can't fix itself without our genius that's involved. We're the fix-it people. Most of the inventions that we've ever created was about fixing things, not destroying things.
Mm-hmm.
So when you list the history of our black inventions, if you look at them, we ain't doing things to destroy nothing. We did things to make jobs easier, especially because we had to do all the hard work.
That's right. We always found out a better way to do something.
There you go.
Found a better way to do it. Yeah,
yeah, and still do that. But what happened is a lot of times we are never told that we're the ones who did it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so we are still in that cycle right now. And I'm listening to all the commentators in the news shows and the white folks are talking about America is broke. And they ain't talking about money-wise. They talk about in terms of its humanness, in terms of people treating each other and, you know, they can't fix none of the systems, you know, the whole, no happiness in it, you know. So people and folks are rebelling against the existing system. And this is people of all kinds, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we are at this point. And like I say, is that we're going to come up with some more creative things, and the youth is always the driving force. Because the youth reject existing status quo because they don't see no happiness in it.
Right, right. They don't see themselves in it. They're not welcome in it anyway.
There you go. And what happens is we become very critical of them because we don't understand that they're looking at us while we're talking to them.
And they see the contradictions.
Right, and that's what they see. You know, I'm a former high school teacher, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
I decided to go back into teaching in 1991. I had started in 1968, but I was so radical, I didn't last but a year.
You and Taeju. I just can't stay in that system.
Yep, me and Taeju, man. You know, that's my good buddy.
That's right.
Yeah, we were so radical, we couldn't last. So we was, hey, the truth is the truth.
Yeah. Right?
Who will mouth it come from?
Mm-hmm.
So, but the thing with the youth, when I decided to go back into teaching, I decided to go back in teaching to an alternative school.
Right.
Lapham Park, the school had 100 students and 95 of them was black males. So that's just where I wanted to be.
Yep.
Most of them were gang affiliated,
yep.
Black gangster disciples and vice lords.
Yeah, you invited me to come in and talk to them periodically.
That's
I appreciate
right.
it, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I was only going to bring people in and I know they would go speak the truth.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that what take place is that what I used to do with them is... you know, you got to get their attention.
Mm-hmm.
In warriors, you got to get their attention because, you know, and so what I would do is, like, I would introduce myself when I first came in because they looking at me. And the other thing is they can't see no fear in you.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because they don't test you.
That's right.
So,
cause So
when I opened up my class, it was like, hey, my name is Mr. Courtney. And I only got a couple of rules in my class, is that when I talk, you don't talk. Other than that, you can talk all you want. And if you don't do my work, I'm going to fail you. Now, so they look at me like,
There it is.
I say, now let me tell you the reason why y'all here. Many of y'all think y'all here because y'all was thrown out of school, because y'all was fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Or y'all wasn't paying good attention to the teachers, or you was threatening. I said, there ain't none of the reason y'all here. Y'all here because your ancestors determined that at this time in your life, you would meet me. And when I finish with you, you ain't going to never look at the world the same again.
I say, right on.
And they looked at me like, this nigga got to be crazy. So, you know, that's what young warriors do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so, you know, we get along. And then I used to ask them, I do certain little experiments, and people can use these today. I would ask the youth, I say, by your own definition of happiness, whatever you think it is, if you know 5 happy adults, raise your hand. Now, I've got 25 students per class. for four classes. How many hands you think I got out of the 100 students? How many people hands I got? If I got that.
If you got that.
That's about it. Because they didn't know five happy adults.
That's right.
I say, well, now, if you don't know five happy adults, who do you consider happy? Who you think they would name? They didn't name entertainers. They didn't name elected officials. They didn't name athletes. They didn't name none. They didn't name their parents. You know who they named?
Who?
Grandparents.
Grandparents, okay.
Especially grandma. Mm. And if grandpa was there, grandparents who had been together for a long time. Because grandparents was always loving and nurturing.
Yeah.
And disciplining. Yes. Mm. And they knew that they loved them. Is that
That's
right?
Right? That's right. Yeah.
You know, grandparents play a significant role in our life. And then that's why I get back to the book. On the jigsaw puzzle is my inspiration for writing that book, which came from my great-grandmother,
right,
who could neither read nor write.
Right. So you dedicated to her, yes.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. She was born in 1889. Mm. Her mother was a slave. Mm. Okay. And what happened was she gave myself and my brother, who's also active now, via the money, you know, and with that, she gave us the key to unity. Mm. Now, I'm going to tell you how she did it. It came out of my spirit, because everything comes out of our spirit. You see, a lot of times we discount the spirit. We try to do everything physically and mentally.
Mm-hmm.
That don't work. You ain't going to figure this out. The spirit has to come in. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Physical and mental is just two lines. When you add the spirit, it makes the triangle, what it looked like the pyramid. Is that right?
Right.
Right of the pyramid. So you got to tap into the spirit. And that's what has always kept our people surviving wherever we've been.
Right.
In America, Africa, South America, the Caribbean, you know. But anyway, what took place was years later, out of my, writings and stuff, it came to me that what she used to say is, she say, don't you never think you know better than nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just share with people a little circumstances of why she said that. Back in the day when I was growing up, there was a saying that if you're white, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
If you're yellow, you're mellow. If you're brown, stick around. And if you're black,
you're
back.
Get back.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. And so I was one of the lighter skinned children. I ain't all that light mm-hmm. in the family. But, you know, the old folks used to watch how people paid preferential treatment
right.
to the lighter children
That's
in the family
right.
because
yeah.
of the family, right? And it still mm-hmm. happens today a lot of
yes,
times,
it does.
Right?
Yes, it does. I had a conversation so recently about that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So one day, great grandma was looking at me, she like, I don't know what she did. I couldn't have been no more than 8, 9 years old. And she came to me one day and she said, don't you think you know better than nobody else, you little shit-colored nigga? I'm like, damn, what did I do? I mean, that shocked the hell out of me. I was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. But later on in life, I understood.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't take long, see. Because black, anything that was dark, did not get preferential treatment. That's another game that's played.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that, you know, that whole color thing. And so so out of my spirit came the concept of a puzzle over the years. And I first wrote it in 1985. And what took place was, and I'll go through it, if I had a 1,000-piece puzzle, and you pointed out earlier.
Well, listen, let's do this, Baba. Let us take
mm-hmm.
a break. I got to take a break. When I come back from the break, we'll definitely dissect the book and talk about how it works, okay?
All right, brother.
All right. Thank you so much, Baba.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking with Baba Tony Courtney and his book, which has been revised a couple of times, The Jigsaw Puzzle of African Unity, of Black Unity. And we'll have more of that. This is the African Perspectives. We're here every we're going to take that break. This is African Perspectives. You stick with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
And shove. Possession is the motivation that is hanging up the goddamn nation. Looks like we always end up in a rut. Everybody now trying to make it real compared to what? Come on, twisted children are killing frogs. Poor dumb rednecks rolling logs. Tired old ladies kissing dogs. I hate the human love of that stinking mud. I can't use it. Trying to make it real compared to what? Come on, baby. He's got his war. Folks don't know just what it's for. Nobody gives us a rhyme or reason. Have one doubt, they call it treason. We're chicken feathers all without wonder. God damn it, I'm trying to make it real compared to what? Suck it to me. Yeah.
get fried. They all trying to teach us what they think is right. They really got to be some kind of nut. I can't use it. I'm trying to make it real compared to what. Piano, where's that honey? Where's my God and where's my money? Unreal value is a crass distortion. Unwed mothers need abortion. Kind of brings to mind old young King Tut. He did it now. Trying to make it real compared to what.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Les McCann and Eddie Harris with a dynamic duel. Les McCann and Eddie Harris trying to make it real compared to what the 1966 Montrose Jazz Festival, and of course they've played that together for many, many years. And Les McCann died a couple of days ago, the 29th, in L.A. from pneumonia. He was 88 years old. Truly made his mark trying to make it real compared to what. Right on, Les McCann. Let's get back to the conversation with my good brother, Brother Tony Courtney. He's revised his book, The Jigsaw Puzzle of Black Unity, of African Unity. Baba Tony.
Yes.
All right, let's get back to the conversation. And also, too, dear brothers and sisters, you can join this conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Baba Tony Courtney on the program with me today, and you can give him a call and ask questions or comments or concerns. So we were talking mm-hmm. about how you were putting this thing together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what came out of my spirit after many years was that whole concept of a jigsaw puzzle based on what my great-grandmother had told me and my brother. Don't you never think you know better than nobody else?
Right.
You see, when you go around our community, you ask people, I don't care where you go, black people, what is it that we need most in the black community? Most of them are going to say, we need to get ourselves together. We need to unify. But a lot of times when they talk about unify, they talk about unite around me and my way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And that ain't going to happen because we don't all think the same.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so that what takes place is that, you know, a lot of the different organizations during the period of the 60s, when we were active, you know, the statement was, you know, everybody was saying they were the way, they were right.
Right.
And then, like I told brothers who've been around, I say, you know, what did take place is that we all still taking that ass whooping, ain't we?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So this white boy doubled down.
Yeah.
So none of us have the way. You know what I'm saying? Now, it didn't stop us from being active, and that's what you have to continue to do. But anyway, so if I use this analogy of the puzzle, if I had a 1,000-piece puzzle and I took the box top off, you wouldn't know what the picture was. But you could still put the puzzle together because most of us understand certain principles. Most people are going to start with the corners or the edges or the square back pieces. But even when you put them all in place, it still don't tell you what the picture is.
That's right.
So you have some pieces on the east, some on the west, some on the north, some on the south. Let's say that they also represent leadership in our community. Leadership in our community should be about going out, getting information, and coming back and putting together our community. And that helps facilitate it. But oftentimes what leadership does have gone out, got the information, come back, and try to get the community to facilitate its own individual agenda. And this is one of the reasons we stay in the chaos we do, because a lot of people who are out there saying they're trying to help the community, that's really not what they're trying to do. Many of them are trying to help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And ain't nothing wrong with helping yourself, but not at the expense of putting our community together.
That's right.
All right? So you got all the square back pieces in place. Boom. Now we deal with colors and shapes. And pretty soon we got enough pieces in place. So long before the 1,000-piece puzzle is over, finished, we got an idea of what the picture going to be. So now I got 999 pieces in place. The last one on the table. Put it in, puzzle complete. Okay, I like this puzzle. So I'm going to do it another 999 times. So now here come the questions. Which piece is first in a 1,000-piece puzzle? Whichever one I pick up.
That's right. That's the
answer. If I'm going to do it 1,000 times, is that right?
That's right.
Which piece is last? The last one I finish with. Main question. Which piece is the most important? None of them. Because when we was picking them up one at a time, didn't none of them tell us what the picture was going to be, did it?
Nope.
So it's the same thing. If I can reach in the box with 1,000-piece puzzle and you don't know what the box top is, I can pick it up and say, look at this piece. Tell me what the picture going to be when I put the other 999 pieces together. Could you tell me most likely by looking at that one piece?
Not at all.
All right, I pick up another one. How about this one? Tell me what the picture going to be.
No.
I could pick them all up. You could guess 999 times, if not 1,000, and still be wrong. Because on the box top could be a picture of seals on the desert, which don't make no sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So, puzzle complete, I need a 909. Each piece can be first, right? So what it comes down to, if the puzzle could talk and say, black people, you know what your problem is? Is that some of y'all think y'all first. Some of y'all think y'all last, and some of y'all think y'all more important than somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that we ever do in our lives that's more important than what anyone else does. It's an equal contribution to the whole. Because we come in all kind of different arenas. We come from all kind of different lifestyles. And so what takes place is that each of us can make a contribution. And it might be a small contribution. Some people make monumental contributions. Others make a little bit. But that little bitty contribution became very instrumental in something that we had to do. Mm-hmm. So what happened is the problem is that what great-grandma was saying is, for the most part, is don't judge. And we hear a lot of things. Our judgment on each other is the biggest problem. All right? Mm-hmm. So there's a little thing that says when you point one finger at me, that's three fingers pointing back at you, ain't it? Mm-hmm. Or there's another judgment that says the monkey does not see his own hind parts, he sees his neighbor's. So you looking at the dirt on my butt, but you ain't looking at the dirt on yours.
That's right.
Right? Or they got the little saying that Jinya May that comes out of the Akan out of Africa. Mm-hmm. I see what you're doing. I don't know why you're doing it. So I ain't going to judge you because only God knows. Only God knows why we do what we do. Because we have all kinds of things that we do. We never understand why people do the things they do, but we want to pass judgment. Mm-hmm. And when we pass judgment, then we can't talk to people about unity in the next breath, can we?
No.
The minute we do that, and that's one of the things that keeps us apart. So now what I'm going to do is give you a little introduction to the thing I'm getting ready to write called Eliminating Deunification Rhetoric.
Right on. Okay.
Now, what that is this. Language is one of the things that kills us. So my mama had four of us by four different men.
Okay.
Okay. We ain't never heard nothing about a half-brother or a half-sister.
Mm, right.
Where did that come from? Mm. I mean, during our enslavement, it was all kind of us mixed together. Is
right.
that right?
That's right.
Because the master said, get in there and get me a baby, because none of them belong to us. It was his. That's he could right. sell them when he got ready. Mm-hmm. Do what he want with them. Is that right?
That's right.
That didn't come out of African society.
No.
But we use that, and that creates a lot of problems, especially as people get older, and they are looked at as then less than. You see? So you see it today a lot of times when people die, and whatever's left in there, those material things, people fall out with each other by.
Sure.
Sometimes these families never get back together in life over crap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Over material possessions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we got to eliminate half or what?
That's my brother.
No.
That's my sister. That's it.
Yes, yeah. Right.
We got the same mama. We got the same mama.
Yeah.
We didn't have the same father, but we got the same mama. It's the same thing
right.
with my
and
family.
The thing is like, you know, even when people, like they say, they may not stay together, but then they get in other relationships. You know, we have a blended family in my family. You know, I was married 7 years the first time. I've been married 45 years this time. Mm-hmm. So I have blended family. And I and my family, we've always taught our children to you, this is your brother, this is your sister. We
That's
ain't never
right.
used half period of right. nothing.
Right.
The other things that we have to begin to do is we have to stop, you know, one of the things that's happening with brothers, especially as black men, there's language that we must now eliminate, okay? And those things are such a thing as, there's no such thing as a deadbeat dad. Because you never know what a brother go through. We talked earlier about what happened with a lot of the brothers. Mm-hmm. That when they was working and they
right.
could get a job and walk
yeah.
across the street and get another one the next day.
Yeah.
When they lost them jobs, brother, what happened is they couldn't take care of their families the same way mm-hmm. they had used to become.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And so what happened, a lot of the brothers turned to drinking, smoking, abuse of the family, mm-hmm. all kind of stuff. Is that right?
Right.
And so what happened is we never know what people is going through to make them act the way they do. They might have lost somebody they love, maybe lost a mother, a sibling, grief. And grief is one of the hardest emotions of all to get over. They might have lost a job, lost some status. You know, where they used to be somebody. And so then they react very differently. So we have to eliminate that whole concept. Because if we allow for that to exist amongst us, especially as black men, and we have to take the lead on that, is that you can't talk about a brother in the next, about unity in the next breath if we using that language.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because now we become the enemy,
mm-hmm.
not this system. You understand what I'm saying? You talking about me, you doubting me, and see, a lot of times is that what you see is like brothers who, you know, like another thing my great grandmother used to say a lot of times is the high-minded must come down. That means you have an upcycle today, but you might be on a downcycle tomorrow.
That's right.
Because a lot of life don't just deal with you a straight, you always up.
No, it's a roller coaster, but a series of ups yes, and
right.
downs for everybody.
And so what you do in terms of how you treat people, people remember how you treat them.
That's right.
Mm. You see, so that what takes place is this. You know, so you talking about me, I'm down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might have been up, but I'm down. Like I see a lot of the brothers back then, they start selling cocaine, wind up in the penitentiary. A lot of them I used to play basketball with.
Mm-hmm.
Whole lives fell apart. Marriages separated, divorced. The children stopped listening to them. And then that's when the children, a lot of the teenagers, because they had become accustomed to a certain lifestyle, they started selling the drugs in the 1980s. So what takes place is that, so then when we using stuff like the whole deadbeat dad thing and people wearing that out, we have to, as black men, we can individually, we ain't got to join an organization. We could individually kill that from the start. If it's in our presence amongst our group. Because a lot of times, unfortunately, a lot of people try to make themselves look good in front of our women at another brother's expense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? A lot of the rhetoric is out there is we go say some great things, clean this and clean that, and a lot of times trying to get a one-up on the next brother.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that when we allow that language to exist, I'm up now, but I was down, but I'm up. Now this brother's down. We allow that language to exist. Then when I see you, now you become the enemy. You, I swear I might see you now, you didn't got a down cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I see you on the bus. I say, damn, man, you on the bus? What happened? Oh, man, dude, you used to drive a Cadillac every 2 years. You'd be getting another one. What up, man? Well, man, front you off in front of some other dude. Man, dude used to dress sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Man, your clothes looking kind of tacky, bro. What happened?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you say you lost your family? Oh, man, don't cry. Don't you remember when I told you I lost mine?
Mm-hmm.
Now you know how I feel, don't you?
Because
now I'm like Flavor Flav. Ain't got nothing for you, man. Wouldn't if I could.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
So we have to eliminate the language. That's one of the things that's keeping us apart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we gonna still be talking English, but there are certain things that we have to become cognizant of, and we have to spread amongst the men in our barbershop conversations, you know, and our personal conversations with our friend conversations. We have to eliminate all that negative stuff, because that ain't working for us. All it does is create animosity toward each other, and that's why we basically only compete against each other. You know, we don't compete hardly against men of other races, like the Chinese, German, Jew, French, Swede, Polish, Irish, Korean. Mm-hmm. We just compete against each other as black men. And then when we run out of black men to compete against, we turn around and compete against our women. Mm-hmm. You see, what's wrong with them? You know. I mean, and this society uses that to their advantage. Now they moving on them now.
Yeah.
You know, you saw just what happened with the sister that was at the Harvard and a whole bunch of other ones.
They finally put the pressure on her. She wound up resigning.
That's right.
But she has tenure, so she just went back to being a professor. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, her whole situation is sullied, you know, by these crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they throw that anti-Semitic trope on your ass, which is, of course, is a misnomer anyways, because the European Jews are not Semitic people. In fact, the people in Gaza, those were the Palestinians are Semitic people. So those European Jews are anti-Semitic. It's a damn shame, ain't it, man? It's crazy.
Well, you know, with all of these different things is going on, now you got the Ukraine and the Russia piece, you got the Gaza and the Palestinians and the Jews, you got things going on in the Congo and Sudan.
Yep.
You know, you got all over the world. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, like I say, a lot of times you can't resolve those things physically and mentally because we're in control of places. But we can use our spirits and get as many people as we can. That's why also in the booklet at the back I got a little statement that deals with a website people can go to and learn how to use their spirit to bring about change in their families, in their communities, in the world.
That's right, Ma'at.
You see? That's right. That's what you got to tap into.
Transform.
You know, and then there's words of power and stuff that you use and you focus on because, you know, everything is falling apart at the seams and people don't know how to fix it. But you got to fix it through the spirit. You can't fix it through talk. Mm-hmm. You know? And so that's basically what's taking place there. I'm just trying to think of that basically pretty well must cover it. But what it does, it goes right back to what my great grandma said when the puzzle was solved. Don't you never think you know better than nobody else.
That's right. That's right. Brothers and sisters, we're talking today with Brother Tony, Baba Tony Courtney, his book, The Jigsaw Puzzle of Black Unity, and been revised. Join the conversation by 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We got a number of you in the queue. You know what to do. Hit star twice, and you can get in this conversation. Hit star twice. You can get in on this conversation. Yeah. So, yeah. I tell you, you know, it's not looking good for us. Now, I want to check out that going back to the South. Once again, though, Baba, I feel that the only solution for us is Pan-Africanism. That's the only solution for us. You know, a few of us might do all right being here. You know, it's not designed for us to do all right. It's designed for individuals to do all right. And just because a couple of individuals here and there are doing all right, but collectively, you know, our situation is not good. Mm-hmm. And it won't be good here because it's not designed for that. You know, this is European stuff. This is their stuff. And they let you know it. And so even though we may go back and be a majority in certain areas, in certain states, and in certain counties, and that we can run the county government, and we've seen what's happened there, you know, you figure in this day and age you wouldn't have the resistance and the craziness that Europeans or white folks do, but you still have it. You know, denied this one sister or this one brother. It was in Georgia. They denied him the keys to the keys to the office. You know, made him quit. They took they township back, man. It's crazy. But that's who they are, and that's how they are. Now, I'm saying that's who they are and how they are collectively. I'm not saying about you may mm-hmm. know some individual Caucasians who are good people. They're probably decent people. Maybe they in your family because they married your sister or brother, or whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying that's that. But I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about looking at the history of who these people and how they've operated and what they have done and what they continue to still do. It's, you know, so, yeah.
Well, you know, the continuation of what they do is what's caused America to fall apart at the seams.
Yeah.
I mean, it ain't never been, like I say, is we're the fix-it people. We always have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the things that we create, the spirit that we bring, you know, and then as another aspect of whenever the morale of the people becomes at a low, you know, they historically tried to come up with something that goes lift the people. So let's go back to the 60s again. In the 60s, they killed Dr. King. They killed Bobby Kennedy. They killed the people at the Democratic they beat up the people at the Democratic National Convention. It was Vietnam was going on. So the country's morale was at an all-time low. People was running, escaping, going to Canada. A lot of the white youth, they was not going to go get in that war. A lot of the brothers, a lot of black men died in that war.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so what happens is, anytime that happens, there has to have something that's going to be created to go ahead and lift the morale of the people, right? So that was all in 68. It continues to be going on. So what is it they came up with that supposedly lifted the morale of the people in 69? You remember?
69?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Got to have something that lifts the people back up. At least certain people. It didn't lift a lot of us back up, but it lifted a lot.
mm-hmm.
They say they sent a man to the moon.
Oh, I would have, man, that's what they say. I wasn't going to think of that one, man. I'm thinking of all kinds. I'm thinking of the Olympics in 68, you know, the Tommy,
right.
John Carlos and Tommy Hines.
Right.
You know.
All the morale of the people, when they did that, them brothers, like I say, doing that 20-year period, we weren't joking, were we, bro?
No, not at all, man. That energy was up. It was beautiful. It was a good time.
Yeah, so they had to come up with something.
Yeah.
And then the nation, you had this thing in the final call, I remember, was, you know, how you going to have a flag flying on the moon and ain't no air? Remember they had that picture in the final call.
Yeah.
You know, if you fabricate different stuff. Now, it's understandable. You know, you're trying to lift the people. Mm-hmm. But still, that's just temporary. If you don't deal with truth and do things the right way, it's going to fall down. You know. And so what happened now is, like, let's take a look at our young warriors. There's a saying that comes out of Africa. If the warriors don't feel the heat, they will burn down the village.
Yeah.
And you see that happening all over the country, don't you, bro?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't care what city you go to. And even in some of these little side suburbs, black youth is burning down the village. As the old folks used to say, they ain't got no respect for God or the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And the key is, if life don't mean nothing, death don't either. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. I mean, they just black youth, but it's white youth too, as well. Hispanic. Everything in the society has changed. Everything they used to say was a no-no. The youth is saying it's a yes-yes. I can be gender specific or neutral, whatever. I can do all kinds of things. I ain't got to adhere to no labels that you put on me. And so that what takes place is what we have to begin to do is to address our youth, because why? They look at us and they don't, you know, I mean, who takes advice from unhappy people, Ocean?
Yeah. No,
you look at somebody and their life all messed up and they going to tell you how to live yours?
No.
How much advice you going to take?
Exactly.
you come to the conclusion just like the youth do. Maybe I don't know what to do, but I definitely know what I ain't going to do. I ain't going to listen to what you tell me because I don't see you as being happy nowhere. You see, we got down now 70% divorce rate in our community.
That's right.
And a lot of the youth is to the point where they ain't even considering getting married because they don't see the happiness in it.
Mm-hmm. Or understand, you know? how they could work together as a couple, as a compliment to deal with. Yeah, we got to call it.
Yeah, because a large part of the reasons for getting together is not the reasons that's going to solidify. And that's, you know, the physical and mental has its place, but it's the spiritual aspect. It's the ma'at, love, seeking nothing in return. Yeah. I give to you because I can. I ain't expecting nothing back. Mm-hmm. You see, that's our concept. That's the interdependence of African societies. You know, we didn't have no money in the village. But we all have status. A lot of people don't recognize status to black people is more important than money, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, we got a call.
We didn't have no money.
We'll take a call here, brother. Brother Irv, good afternoon.
Okay.
Brother Irv, good afternoon. Okay. Brother Paul, how you doing? This is Brother Paul from the UK, from across the pond. Brother Paul, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Baba Ochi. At this point, I'd just like to give thanks for life and everything as well. Good afternoon to yourself and good afternoon to your guest. You know, I always ask we hear quite often on my short journey here, this talk about unity. And the more I'd like to consider myself a critical thinker, and the more I critically think about it, I ask myself the question, unify for what purpose? You understand? What really is the objective of this thing called unification? And before I phoned in, I was thinking, you know, to myself and questioning myself and asking what's the relevance of the question. And then I was thinking about the place where I live called England, UK. You got a union in Europe called the European Union.
Right, the EU.
Mm-hmm. These people I live with removed themselves from that union. They removed themselves from it. And everybody has their view on why they did it. But when I observe, I think they did it because it wasn't serving their interests. And they thought their interests was best served building their own. Because these people, when I look at them, the UK, they're just about taking over. They're just about power. That's all they care about. Mm-hmm. That's the way I see it. They're not interested in unifying people they think they're better than. They're not interested in that. And they have proved that they can go around the world and take over the world. Look, you're there speaking English.
Right.
This just proves it.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is this for me. I ask myself, what am I unifying for? What's the point? And why I want your guess is this, is when he talks about the jigsaw, maybe I'd have to get his book fully understand it. Does he mean that when you put the pieces together, once you put all the pieces together, you get unity? Or does he mean that when you put all the pieces together, you see the picture of unity? That's like the part of the stage of getting this unity so that you can see the picture and then you can make your way, which I didn't fully understand that.
Okay, let me give you a little insight of what I was talking about. You see, based on what has happened with us historically and what we've gone through in terms of our enslavement around the world, is that when we get the puzzle, we take the box top off and we start looking at, we know how to put the puzzle together. In our puzzle, says our puzzle pieces, says I am because we are, giving, seeking nothing in return, interdependence. Okay, But when we got the box top says, go for yourself. Get yours. Don't worry about the rest of them. They don't want to have nothing no way. So we start putting the puzzle together based on the certain principles. And then after a while, we look over it. Each generation has looked at the puzzle. And as we begin to put it together, we look over at the box top and we say, well, wait a minute. What we putting together don't look like what's on the box top. And then what we do, each generation of us have torn up the puzzle, broken up again, and started over and over and over again, each generation. Well, in certain cycles, there are certain comes of time when the youth have looked at, and then they steal what they're getting from the elders and the ancestors playing a role, is that they wind up saying, hey, we tearing up the box top. We go put this puzzle together the way we want to put it together. Because we got all the pieces there that we need, except that we're looking at trying to make our puzzle look like somebody else's box top. Mm-hmm. And that cannot work for
That's
us.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That makes a great deal of sense. And I'm going to have to sit on it and analyze it, but it does make sense. And I want to ask something here. I mean, you talked about your age, and I know Baba Ochi is the same age as my father, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you're the same as my father. But what I'm saying is I don't agree with my father on a lot of things, and I think it's a generational thing. Mm-hmm. You know, he talk about, respectfully, I don't argue with him, I just let him be. But to be honest with you, when I search my soul, there's a great feeling I don't agree with him on. And you said something there where I've analyzed myself and I find it hard to stomach. Let's just say that. People say you don't give to receive. I can't deal with that. Maybe I got it wrong, but me, I, the stage I'm at in life, I don't get that and I don't feel that. And let me tell you why. I like to grow things, I like plants and stuff. Yeah. Now, I don't give my plant water to die. I don't just give it water to expect it to disappear. I give it water so it can grow flowers, give me a sense of pleasure when I look at it, maybe even sustain me to give me some fruit or whatever. So the way I see it is that nature is an exchange. You give and you receive. I really don't understand this idea that you just give and with no expectation of receive, because I don't see nature works like that. Everything in nature is an exchange. It's you give and you receive something. You understand? We breathe in oxygen, we give out carbon dioxide, and it's exchanged. The plants take in carbon dioxide. So I know a lot of people say that, and I might have it wrong, but I've analyzed this many times, and I hear many people say that, and I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, well, the concept in terms of giving is giving what is needed. A lot of times we give things that people don't need, because I mean it maybe gives us a sense of fact that we've been able to give out something, you know. But a lot of times we wind up enabling. How old is your dad?
He's the same age as Ochi.
70.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ochi, how old are you now, man? 70 what?
71.
Okay, I'm 77. Mm-hmm. Okay. So no, you're not necessarily going to agree with everything with your dad, and I have 8 sons, and a lot of them don't necessarily agree with what I do, because they came through in a different time period, and they saw different things that they felt was going to address what they were trying to accomplish. But like Oshie was pointing out too, there are certain things that sooner or later you will wind up getting closer and closer to some of the things that your dad was saying to you. And just like mine, they get closer and closer over time, because the pictures that's being painted, the social media, the artificial intelligence is all a whole different kind of programming tool in people's minds. Okay. And yes, you give, And you like certain things, yes, you want to enjoy those things that you do. That's what life is all about. That's why you come to Earth in the first place, is to enjoy life. Happiness is the key, or actually what it is peace. We want peace in our lives. And like he was talking about, that the people that withdrew from a certain part, eventually that's what takes place, is people get to a point where they're no longer going to comply with the existing things of how things are working, and they move to do something different. And that's within us all. But a lot of times that only happens when we come to the point where we done tried everything, it ain't working, people not gonna listen, we got to do something else.
Yeah, I get that, and you're right. Absolutely, I have experienced that. You're right. You're right when you say, yeah, that's the truth, because as you get older, you, you know, even some things I didn't agree with my father on, then you might find yourself even saying them things without even realizing it.
Yeah, you become your daddy.
Yeah. So it's, you have that conflict. It's a conflict sometimes you have. And growing pains. You have these growing pains, and yeah, I agree with you. And you know, at the end of the day, I'm about learning, so I don't make the things I experience as fact. I just say that it's a process, because sometimes you can hunt. You know, you have these concepts in your mind, but then on one occasion you could be proved totally wrong. So I get it. It's about learning, and you know, I'm about learning. So you know, okay. I appreciate you. I appreciate the information. Thanks very much.
Right on, Brother Paul.
I just wanted to add, Oshi, is this.
Okay.
See, it's like, let's say that 0 to 10 is one line in our lives. 11 to 20 is two lines. 21 to 30 makes a triangle. That's three lines. So that at that point, when we hit 30, a lot of times we look back at our 20s, and hopefully in most cases we ain't trying to do the same thing in our 30s that we was doing in our 20s.
Right.
31 to 40 makes four lines, square. Mm-hmm. So when we hit 40, we look back at our 30s and say, well, wait a minute. A lot of things we thought wasn't the case.
Right.
41 to 50 makes a pentagon. That's five lives. So when we get 50, we basically come into what we call a no-nonsense part of our lives. Mm-hmm. We just ain't spending a whole lot of time doing the same things we was doing before. We don't want to hardly hear no bull. Mm-hmm. 51 to 60, six lines. That's the hexagon. Is that right?
Yep.
So what happened at each stage of our lives, we gain more, and our ancestors, our parents, become wiser to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now we can see what they were talking about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, you can see it now because you've been gone through it.
Yeah.
Like I say, the old folks used to tell us, say, you know, we could get, they, you know, they didn't go argue with us. They listen to us and they have a brief. You know what they used to say? Just keep on living.
You'll see. Yeah. How you, Baba? Irv.
Yeah, they ain't gonna miss a whole lot of arguing shit. Yeah. No, just keep on living.
Yeah. Go ahead, Baba.
I messed up. Thanks for getting me in really quickly, Baba. Mm-hmm. Courtney, your wisdom mm-hmm. is coming out this thing like out of my phone like a tsunami. My father was saying he had a lot of sayings. He said. He would tell me things. He's gone now. He left 2 years ago. I'm 65. My father would tell me things in my teens, and he would say, you'll get it when you're 65. Never mm-hmm. understood what he meant, but now I do. And that's exactly mm-hmm. what you're saying. But, brother, really quickly, I know we got a little bit of time. You said something that was so simplistic, but yet so complicated. You said that people are looking for happiness. That is very simple. But yet it involves so many things, because happiness involves love and peace. All mm-hmm. those things have to come together for happiness. Mm-hmm. And you're right on point with what you, man, I'm getting your book. That's all I'm trying to tell you. Yeah. I'm getting your book. And thank you so much for being on Baba's show. I know the time is late. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Irv. Brother Irv, that's one of my my co-hosts and fellow firefighter, good brother. Yeah, let me get Jay up in here.
Get Jay.
Hey Jay, good afternoon.
Hey, what's happening? Though, good day to your guests. I'm just listening, man. Glad to continue to get someone else in.
Oh, All right, Jay. Take care, man. Good. Have a blessed day.
Mama Nabantu.
Mama Nabantu, good afternoon.
Yes, hold on. I got you in my pocket.
Mama Nabantu?
I'm here. I got you in my pocket. I walk around with you all day long trying to clean up. But, yes, I really enjoyed the guest. And your name, what's the guest name again?
Baba Tony Courtney.
Tony Courtney.
Yeah.
And the book is
The Jigsaw Puzzle of Black Unity. The Jigsaw Puzzle of Black Unity.
Yeah, that's a very interesting concept that I'm going to look into. I know that when I plan events, I always see a puzzle. And I know each piece has to come together to make it happen. But I see the vision, and I see the puzzle, and then I see the fruition of that vision.
Right on.
That's the way I deal with it. But I'm listening to, you know, I heard a lot of good things Brother had to say around these ages. I'm 76, and you talk about each life, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. It's, you know, the older you get, you know, the more you know.
Yeah.
And the more wisdom you have. And, of course, you know, older is not necessarily wisdom, but I feel that that's what we need.
Right on.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mama Nabantu.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, she's with the Pan-African Federalist Movement, Tony. And here's Brother Kwaku. Brother Kwaku, Jeff Lemons. Brother Kwaku.
Okay, Brother Jeff. All right.
How you guys doing? How you doing, Brother Courtney?
Good, Brother Kwaku.
Hey, man, you been all right?
Oh, yeah. I'm still at it. I don't know nothing else.
What you been doing since I met you?
After 57 years, I don't know nothing else. I was going to tell you, O.C., I was sitting at Coffee Making Black one day, and a brother I'd been on about 30 years, he used to be involved. You know, I'm sitting at Coffee Making Black every day, and I'm doing the name profiles and selling my daughter's books and my greeting cards.
Right on.
And a brother I knew a long time, he came in. He said, Courtney, man, so you still at it? I listened to him. I say, did we win?
Nope.
Well, hell, if we didn't win, I'll be wasting. I got to keep going. Otherwise, I ain't going to waste all that time.
That's right. Well, Baba, we only have a couple more minutes, and I'd like to give you the opportunity to close the program out with anything you'd like to say. But what I'd like to say, too, is for the brothers and sisters listening, I'll get some of the books. Brother Baba Tony will send me the book, and I'll get the books out to you. It's just a, you know, pamphlet, about 10, 12 pages, but very insightful, very impactful. The Jigsaw Puzzle of Black Unity, revised edition. All right, Baba, go ahead.
Yeah, well, first of all, Oshie, I want to thank you for having me on, but even more so for your consistency in terms of bringing many brothers and sisters on to share, to begin to address the conditions in our community. It's like sometimes we think it happens overnight, but it don't. And you've been steadfast, you know, ever since I've known you. You know, we founded 100 black men together.
That's right.
And we just recently lost the brother James Hall. Yeah, we'd already lost Doc Rogers.
Yep.
And it was five of us. And I'm trying to think of who the other brother was. It was me, you, and was it Ken Little?
I think it was Ken Little. The five of us. You know, James Hall, Doc Rogers, and you. And
what we did is we found 100 black men of Milwaukee our own way.
That's right. That was
remember? Because for a lot of people, it was supposed to pay $1,000.
Right.
We allowed people to pay, brothers to pay $60.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you didn't have a felony or nothing that was involving children, you could be part of the organization.
That's right.
And we had hundreds of brothers that wound up joining. We didn't want to exclude. So I was just saying, you know, it still comes back to, don't you never think you know better than nobody
else.
There's mistakes that people gonna make.
You see what I'm saying? We don't judge. And I want to thank you once again for maintaining your show. Have you had a chemo? Because I just hooked back up with him. Because, you know, he if you see it, you're going to see his picture in the Black Power, the Down South to Black Power.
Okay.
They talk about that. So you definitely want to check that out.
I will.
Continue doing what you're doing. If people, if you got them, you can order the books or they can Zelle my phone number and or they can Cash App or whatever, however they want to receive it.
Okay.
But the key is, you know, it's small enough. I created it once again because most people spending all their time on the phone and people don't want to read big books. Big books was back in our day. So they want something small and quick. That's why I only put 8 pages and people want certain answers. Okay?
Okay.
So
me and you will talk about this and you get the books to me and I'll get them out to Brother Irv, Brother Paul over in Brother Paul in the UK. I'm going to bind to and so forth. So also to my good brother Kwaku. All right, my brother. Thank you, Brother Baba Tony. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they sure the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie, Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed day. Hope to see you on Friday.